Welcome. You're about to hear a life-changing message by Reverend Chuks David Owele, the president of the New Covenant Family Ministries. Listen and expand your world.
Pray again for yourself tonight. Ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The greatest thing you can do, you can achieve, is to know God for yourself. To know Him for yourself. Open the eyes of my understanding, I pray, my Father. Remove the scales from my eyes. Let us also know You like we should. Establish Your ordinances in our hearts tonight. Establish Your word in our lives. Let Your word be effective. Let it be productive in our lives. Let it not just be those who hear but can do, but those who know You who can do exploits. Thank You, Lord. I give You praise and glory and honor. Grant me your trance to communicate truths that will establish lives here tonight by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And grant everyone the anointing to understand, to assess the revelations we will share. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Now, if you have read the chapter, you will know this is talking about the Antichrist, when he will come. The man will be here for 7 years. The first 3.5 years, he's not going to appear like a bad guy. He's going to appear like a good person. He will use deception, flatteries, to corrupt people, to deceive people. The covenant is the word that God has agreed with us. The Bible, the word, God's word. God made a covenant with us. He made the Old Testament with Israel. He made a new covenant with the body of Christ, the church, through Jesus Christ. And everything that contains in that covenant is written down in the New Testament. Those who corrupt the covenant, the devil will corrupt. That's the point. Those who do wickedly against the covenant will fall into Satan's deception. You cannot deceive without being deceived. Then the part B, which is my focus tonight, because sometimes we just pick the part B and leave the part one. There are two parts to that verse 32. The first part is those who don't know God. And they show it because of how they meddle with His word. They do wickedly against His word. They break it at anyhow, at will. Then the part B is those that know God. He said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Everyone say that. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that know their God. The first group are those who don't know God. And, you know, the Bible said there are many who profess Him with their mouth, but in their works they deny Him. Really, you know, when you manifest, when you act, it reveals how much of God you know. Your action is where the revelation is. A man came up in Egypt, Joseph by name, and he said, I can show Pharaoh the interpretation of your dream. And Pharaoh, they sent for him in the house of Pharaoh, in the king of Egypt's house, and Pharaoh has dreamed, but couldn't interpret. Joseph just gave him the interpretation. That the meaning of this dream is that there will be 7 years famine in this land. And at the end of the interpretation, he gave Pharaoh some advice, some suggestions. He said, choose you from among your kingdom a very wise man who will gather grain, stock them for 7 years when there will be plenty, so that in the 7 years when there will be lack and famine, they will use this grain to sustain the lives of the people. So Pharaoh went in with his advisors and counselors and thought for a while and came back. He said, of course we know. Having interpreted this dream one level, having suggested, giving us wisdom on what to do, another thing. But much more than that, talk is cheap. If we give this man this thing to do, can he do it? They say opinion is the cheapest commodity on earth. Everybody seems to know what every other person should do, until it is what they should do. And some of the problems that confuse you, you go to people for counseling. When it's another person, you know what to tell them. Woman should submit to her husband until it's your turn. This man should just take care of his house until it's your turn. Can you imagine? He's buying another car. If I'm him, I won't buy. Wait till you get there. So Pharaoh said, you said we should look for a wise man. He said, yes, okay. Since you are wise enough to interpret it, to know that this is the solution, Oya, you are the one. I give you the authority and the responsibility. Start. But the end of the story proved Joseph not just to be a hearer, not just to be a talker, a professor, but to be a doer, a practitioner of revelations. And that boy, or if you want to, that man changed the destiny of Egypt. Too many professionals in the church. God needs practitioners. And the secret to practicing is knowing God. They that know their God. They that know their God. They that know their God. The when they brought me the remaining tapes, I was playing with my wife in the house. You know, the young man that Rehoboam Bonke raised from the dead, that God raised from the dead in Rehoboam Bonke's meeting in Onitsha. And Rehoboam Bonke sent back a crew of white men with cameras to go and get all the stories. So you see in the video where they went to the mortuary, everywhere. Anyway, when they got to him and he was talking about what happened to him, because the moment the accident occurred and they put him in the ambulance, in a vehicle, two angels removed him because he was a Christian. He was a pastor. He was a young pastor. I think his story went like he has been a businessman and got called into ministry or something like that. But he's a young man with few kids. They moved him out. It was when he began to tell Rehoboam Bonke's crew the story that I now answered other questions I couldn't answer since. That man was a man of God. How come he had an accident and died? These are the kind of questions that come up every day over Christians. This person is supposed to be born again. How come she died young? How come he died in the plane crash? When the angel took him, finally they took him to hell. And they showed him, and people were crying from hell. Listen very carefully. People were crying from hell. And he said the shocking thing is that, you know, they seem to, some of them seem to recognize him. Then one particularly was begging him for water and telling him certain things. He said a lot of horrible things. That particular one now said, he said, you know that I've been serving God all my life, that I'm a pastor. The only thing I did, I ate church money. That's how I ended up here. I remember Chiodose telling his own story when he got to hell, and one particular sister was screaming. He said it was just somebody she refused to forgive. That's how she landed there. Now, unbelievers that were partying, boozing, drinking, armed robbers, native doctors, wizards, witches, will be thrown there, and somebody that has spent 20 years in church will also be thrown there. And so at that moment, in answer, the face of the angel changed. That all the while they were moving, the two angels took him from there and handed him to this one angel that was to conduct him. He said, right now the face of the angel changed. And was very, very, annoyed. So he said, listen. If your book is to be closed here, you are to be thrown in here. And the guy started screaming and started begging. But there were people interceding on it, believing for him to come back. He said, you are to be thrown in here. He said, why? Listen very carefully. You know what happened? The day on Friday, the man had the accident on Friday. He left his house at Onitsha and traveled to Owerri without telling his wife. And took some Christmas materials, goat and some other things. When gave his father, told him that he will be coming back with more rice. There's supposed to be a celebration and a reconciliation. There has been a problem in their family, a quarrel. But now watch this. So it was that trip that he made. On his way back, he had the accident and died. But now on Thursday, there was a sharp quarrel between him and his wife. Thursday. And in the evening, they went to bed not talking to each other. The wife tried to make move for reconciliation. He would not listen. And when he woke up in the morning, he was still very angry with her. He went for ministration. They gave him gifts, gave him chicken, gave him everything. He abandoned it and didn't eat it. You know what happened? The next morning, he woke up in the morning. The wife greeted him. He refused to answer and walked out. Went to Headbridge, bought the goat. He was a pastor. I want you to understand something. He was a pastor. Bought the goat to have the program with his family and came back. Where are you going? He left. Didn't tell her anything. It was people now that informed her that he traveled to Owerri. That trip was not completed. People say, how did the devil do it? Don't ever query God over anybody. Don't ever. Like Paul said, don't judge anything till the time. Because there are many in the church that are worse than Judas. There are many in the church that are doing wickedly against the covenant. It was a wife's prayer because the wife refused. Oh God, you're going to leave me here. These children are still small, untrained. I don't care. Fine. You can't. And there are other covenants she could pull on. She went and read Hebrews chapter 11, that women received their dead raised back to life, and stood there and refused. And finally, the angel said, I'm handing you, in that vision, he said, I'm handing you to Rehoboam. And the reason I'm doing that is because the request of the rich man in the Bible, who said, let somebody from the dead come and tell them, where God is granting it as a last warning. So I'm handing you to Rehoboam. That's what he told him in the dream. He told him in the realm of in heaven, he said, I'm handing you to Rehoboam because he will help to get this message across. That's why in the physical too, events started to make sure that he was raised up in that man's crusade. Now, but the point I want to make, you see how God can hand people over to people because he has this man he trusts. There was a man called Cornelius. An angel was sent for him. He said, send for Peter. Can God tell somebody to send for you? Does God trust you? And he can go now and tell the armed robber that has been terrorizing him, this night is your last chance. Go send for this lady. Go send for this man. Can he call your name? Years ago, I read that and I prayed for 3 days. I kept crying over that thing. Go send for Peter. Can you call my name and send me? In those days, I will come back to school, you know, an undergraduate. We'll do a few things, fast, pray. I said, can God trust me with somebody's soul? Can he trust me with the souls of these students in the university then? Bunker was not the only one preaching. But the whole event about discharging that, carry, going to the hospital and mortuary, why those angels disturbed the particular mortuary attendant and were singing praises, and he will wake up, he will come, they will stop, he will go back, they will sing. All those things, because we wanted to get something across to our generation. Chiedose went there, the same thing. The one message he came back from the world is, the only one major sin that sends Christians to hell is unforgiveness. The Bible said, let not the sun go down on your anger. He said, why? He said, because while they are in unforgiveness, their own sin cannot be forgiven. So the angel said, you have been thrown here. He said, why? What did I do? I'm a pastor. See, all I've been doing for God. He said, because you refuse to forgive your wife, so all the things you blew within these fields are still recorded. What does it mean to know God? Jeremiah chapter 9, I'll show you something fast. Jeremiah chapter 9, because you can have profession and lack practice. And do yourself injustice, great injustice. But there is benefit in serving God. Godliness is profitable. Jeremiah chapter 9. God Almighty says this with his mouth, that the greatest asset any human being can have is to know him. Look at it, verse 23. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. King James said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let's see how many there are. The wise man shouldn't boast in his wisdom, number one. The mighty man shouldn't boast in his might, number two. The rich man should not boast in his riches. But let him that boasteth boast in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That he understandeth and knoweth me. Everyone say that. That he understandeth. Know it. God said, if you want to boast at any time, boast in the fact that you understand me. Boast in the fact that you know me. That he you understand it and know it me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, said the Lord. I exercise mercy, justice, and truth. In these things I delight. What does it mean to know God? Four different things. Number one, it means to know his character. You don't know me until you know how I behave. It's very foolish to be around a man and not and cannot tell this is the man you're with. A lot of people who come to God seek his hand and not his face. Those who seek his face seek relationship with God. Those who seek his hand seek the blessings of God. And they are always the ones who end up not knowing God. No man knows a man like his wife. Like I always say, courtship brings out the best. Marriage brings out the rest. No matter how long you court a lady or court a man, there are many things you don't know. There are three things tied up in packages that will be revealed. Because while people are dating, they are trying to impress each other, so they keep showing their best until you marry the person. Nobody knows a man like his wife. Why? Because a woman has different levels of knowledge of the man. One is what is called, the Bible said Adam knew his wife. Sexual knowledge, that is, he has known the man to his nakedness or known the woman to her nakedness. So people can make up and do all that and come out and look like a chick, but somebody knows that there is a big eczema at the back, that you are not as fine as you think. There is a big lump on the shoulder. Of course, the one we show people is the one we want them to see. Adam knew his wife. That goes on to even what is called sexual intercourse. It's called knowing a person because it's the deepest form of fellowship that should be obtainable in the physical realm, and that is only permitted within the marriage institution. The same way, the deepest realm of intercourse with God Almighty is permitted within covenant relationship. God cannot unveil himself, make himself naked before a person who is not in covenant with him. That's why the Bible said the secret things of the Lord are for them that fear him. To them will he reveal or unveil his covenant. Knowing God is knowing his character. The character of God is a manifestation of his nature. It's not something he does, it's who he is. For example, love is one of his character, but it's also one of his nature. Or it's also his nature. Not one of his, it's his nature. God is love, so God loves. God does not love as an action. God loves as an expression of his nature. If you study somebody's nature and the expressions of that nature, you have actually known the person well. Why? A person cannot change. A person will remain like that. That's why God does not change. For example, honesty or integrity or faithfulness, it's not just an action as far as God is concerned. It's his nature. So God cannot lie. He will start lying because of you. Some of you who are busy doubting God, whether he's fair or not, or maybe some things happen in Christianity. You know, like the young girl who met me downstairs, he said, how that some of her friends went to pray for one woman, and the woman said that, oh, pastor, I don't think these things work. I said, shut up, go and sleep. I flogged such people. I don't think those things work. Go and try to drive a car now and bash it into a tree and tell me that nobody can drive a car. Find out what you're not doing right. Anytime there's a fault, he's down here, he's not up there. God is a constant. He doesn't change. God cannot fail. Why? He cannot. It's not in his nature. So, faithfulness is his character. Love is his character. Justice is his character. You see what he's saying here? I'm a God that is executing justice, mercy, and truth. I can't lie. In these things, this is me. I'm not trying to do it to please somebody. This is me. That's how I get myself pleased. That's me. It's my nature. You know, when you say some nature, it's from the word nature, we got the word natural. Nature, from where we got the word, is that which is natural to a thing. He's not trying to fake it. He's not trying to pretend. That's the way it is. And when we get born again, when we come to Jesus Christ to receive him, the first thing he gives us is not power. It's not anything. It's that nature of God that he drops inside of. That's why when a person says, Lord, Lord, and doesn't behave like God, he needs to go and get born again, even if he's in the church. He can be an elder. He can even be a pastor. Let him go and get saved. Because when you get born again, what you receive is the nature of God that makes you like God. That's why we become his children. He said to them, he gave power. That power there is the ability to become like him. The nature of God is the first gift of redemption. That's what we now call eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean living forever. It doesn't mean eternal life. Some people call it internal life. Internal life. Some, you know. No, it just means the divine nature. That's what it means. John 5:26 says, as God has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Of course, you know that other people do it. Monkeys give to their children to have the kind of life they have. John 5:26 said, as God had life in himself, the kind of life God has, he gave to the Son to have. That's Christ. But when you go to the 1 John chapter 5, you see that the Bible said, that whosoever has the Son has that life. So he has gone from God the Father to Jesus and has gone from Christ to us. God has given us life. This life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And whosoever has the Son of God has that life. Whosoever has not the Son of God has not that life. So when you say you are receiving Christ, it doesn't mean that Jesus is coming into your heart. Jesus never comes into anybody's heart. What comes into your heart is Christ. Jesus is the container. Christ is the content. Jesus is the human. Christ is the divine. So he is Jesus the Christ. When you get raptured now, you will meet the man Jesus Christ. How come he's inside you and he's still there on the throne? I've seen him thrice. I didn't see him inside my body. It is the life that God put inside that body that made him Emmanuel. That life God is sharing it with us who are his children today. It's the nature of God. If you are a child of God, you have the nature of God. And that's what makes you a child of God in the first place. If not, you are not a child of God. You're not. And then the nature of God results in certain characteristics, in certain behavioral patterns. That's why it changes you. That's why the scripture could say, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. You can't be behaving like before. You can't. Inside you, you'll be different. The way you, the kind of things you want to do now, the kind of things you desire, everything changes. All things are passed away, the Bible said, and all things have become new. Knowing God is knowing his character. And because you know his character, you know what he can do and what he cannot do. You know how to approach him. You know what gets him angry. God can get angry when he gets angry like this, man. But the Bible also said, let me show you some of the characters of God. One of them you have seen here, he has described three of them: truth, mercy, and justice. King James calls it kindness. That's what he calls mercy. Judgment, that's what he calls, you know, justice. Righteousness, that's what he's called truth. It's the same thing. God cannot sin. God cannot fail. God will not lie. God is merciful. It's his nature.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, can I show you all that? At least one scripture. Then I can take off and show you. Second thing it means when you say you want to know God, what it means. Psalm 145. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious. This is one of his character. He is gracious. What does it mean to be gracious? To be gracious means to be disposed to show him favor. It means you are generous. You just like to bless people. You are a giver by nature. You are not giving because you are not giving like a politician. You are not giving to make a point. You just love giving. That means that your stingy nature is not from God. That your tight-fistedness, you didn't get it from God. Tide came when we were fetching water. The tap was running. And she needed to go and pick something. And her bucket was just before this lady. He said, excuse me, please, oh, just keep my bucket moving. I'm coming now. And by the time she came back, her bucket had been taken out of the way. And they were all finished. And he said, why did you do this? Tell me. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? The angel said to the pastor, he said, wasn't everything clearly in your own Bible? That if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your own. So why are you expecting to be forgiven? If you get forgiven, it means too that God lies. That means he's a compromiser. And that means he should be able to do it for other people. He should do it for some unbeliever too. If he can lie on one person, he can lie on another person. But I want you to know that the God you're dealing with doesn't shake one bit on his word. And he said to you today, as a man of God, that he is afraid of God all his life. When he finished telling his wife the story, he used the word afraid. Now, God doesn't want us afraid of him. He wants us to fear him. But sometimes he wants you afraid too. So you should fear evil. You should fear breaking his word like you should fear touching a naked wife. The first thing about knowing God is knowing his character. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. This is the description. Verse 8. Psalm 145, verse 8. Full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. These are the description of his character. The Lord is good to all. You see? He's a good man, if you want to use the word. He's good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. In Psalm 103, verse 6 said, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God will never take side with oppression. Never. He hates oppression. And he will come to defend those that are being oppressed. He hates oppression. Look at it, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He gets angry, but he won't keep it forever. After you notice that his anger cools down, he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he has been like that, I wonder who will make it. He has not punished us according to how we deserved. Has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Notice the people who have access to his mercy, those that fear him. For as the east is far from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitied his children, So the Lord pitied them that fear him. Notice the people. He has compassion on those that fear him. Anyway, you can read many places and study the character of God. The second thing about knowing God is knowing his power. You know his nature, you know his power. If you think you know God and you don't know his ability, what God is capable of, you don't know him. That's why you are in doubt. That's why your faith is not strong. For many of you now, they tell you a native doctor could do this, you just believe. They tell you Bakassi boys can do this, you believe. But when they say God can do it, why is it that you don't give? You are not a tither. Why is it that you don't give generously? How do you believe that God can raise your seed from the dead and you will not give it like Abraham gave Isaac? Do you believe that God can multiply and bless you and you will give? You don't. Jeremiah 17 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The worst thing about it is when it deceives the owner. The heart has capacity to deceive the man that owns it. He said, who can try it? He said, God is the one that tries the heart. No wonder David could pray. He said, search me, try my reins, that's my heart, and know if there is any hidden unrighteousness in me. And then lead me in the way of everlasting life. Because unless you have learned to examine yourself periodically, you'll be surprised at how long sometimes you'll be lying and deceiving yourself. To know God means to know his power, and to know his power means to know the Holy Spirit. Even you that pray, the secret of your prayer will be when you know God. That's what you're approaching with. If you know me, for example, you should know some things you shouldn't try. You should know. There are some things you try, fire will come out. I'm serious, so. There are some things you try, favor will come out. There are some things you try, I close the book. Another thing you try, open the book. If it's just like a marriage, the simple secret of our heritage is that they should know themselves. People should study themselves, know each other. Especially the husband should know, the wife should know her husband. Very important. Just like it's required of the church to know Christ. That becomes her secret weapon. Because he has the authority, but you, by knowledge of him, has influence. When you know people, when you know God, your Christianity will become meaningful. You have to know the Holy Spirit, because then you can know the ability of God, and your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You need to know how to hear from God, for example. You have to know how to hear from God yourself. You have to know how to know when God is warning you about something, when he's confirming that thing in your heart. It's not the Lord said, at the end of the day, you realize that you just said, you are the one who said. Or it's your emotion that said. Like, it's very funny. One of the things you know about working with God is that whenever your emotion is troubled, avoid God said. Avoid it all. See, the water is calm. Anything you are receiving at that time is like CNN in Channel O. Oh, have you ever had a radio? have you ever tuned a radio before? And you're supposed to be getting a particular channel, and the three channels are, or two are playing in one. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you are stressed, don't trust your judgment. What you are discerning at that time, many times will be wrong. You have to learn these things. When you're under pressure, it's a big business now. It's a lot. Should I invest? Is it 419? Yes, my son, invest.
No, it's your head that told you, it's your emotion that told you. Tomorrow your money disappears. He said, Pastor, I'm not coming to church again. He said, why? He said, God, what God did to me? God didn't do anything to you. You don't know him, that's your problem. You don't know him. You don't know him. He doesn't have shifting. God has no variableness or any shadow of turning. Not like a shifting shadow. The third thing about knowing God is knowing his ways. Now you have studied his character. You have studied his power. Now you study his ways. The nature, the character of God is what is expression of the nature of God. The power of God is expression of the Spirit of God. Mark what I'm saying. The ways of God is the expression of the wisdom of God. So knowing the ways of God is knowing God's wisdom. What is God's wisdom? How God does things. How God sees things. How God speaks. How God gets his success and his results. How does God achieve? The most successful person you should know is God Almighty. How does he achieve his success? You know, how does he do that? As you study the Bible, you study it also to find the sublime, the buried, the hidden wisdom of God is behind every page, every line, every verse. I told somebody the other day, I said, have you noticed that even when God has enemies, how many of you know that God has enemies? So you're not the only one. So why are you worrying too much? Find out how he defeats his enemies and defeat your own like that. I was telling somebody, I said, have you noticed that even God Almighty has enemies? He said, yes. He said, the devil is his enemy. I said, okay, it's not only the devil. Bible said, before you were saved, you were an enemy of God. That's why he gets somebody saved, you help the person backslide. You are working against him. You are criticizing his people. You are attacking his work. And then there are some people who are saved who are still God's enemies. But the Bible said to be carnally minded is enmity against God. You see, because you think like the world, that's why you are useless to the kingdom. He said, the love for this world is enmity for God. You still love the world system, the world, their way of doing things. That's why you are useless to the kingdom of God. So you are in the church, but you are anti-God's program. You can destroy anything that is very precious to God without knowing it. Carnality. But now see how God deals with his enemies. Number one, he loves them. Shocking, true. And he lets them know that. Number two, you know, God will not use his enemies' style in responding to them. They will respond in wickedness, he will respond in justice. In justice, there is punishment. In justice, there is war. In justice, there is retribution. So being good and being love and being fair doesn't mean you can't fight. Like Ken Hagin said, he taught his son. He said, when they slap you on this cheek, turn the other cheek. But if the guy has the boldness to slap you on this, slap him on both. Because being a Christian doesn't mean being a football to be kicked around. Some of the things being a Christian means you can't defend yourself. A young Christian, know his ways. I said, have you noticed that when God has enemies, one of the ways he manages his enemies is that he keeps the line of communication open. When you have an enemy, you don't want to talk to them. So you don't know what they are coming up with after you. But when God has enemies, the Bible said the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan came among them, and God was the first to greet. Hey, good evening, Mr. Satan. Where did you come from? He said, from going to and fro the earth. Greet your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. God said it's a strategy.
Because if you can have love for enemies, then you can have no enemies. That's how God gets the devil to work for him, because he keeps the communication line open. There are people who have enemies, yet their enemies are working for them. Didn't you know the Bible says when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be what? One of the things God does to his enemies is that he keeps his own plan hidden for his enemies. He keeps them blinded. Yet, oh no, let's leave all that. Find out God's ways. If he is your father, the Bible says, be imitators of God as their children. Be imitators of God. Let's copy God. Imitate him. Find the way he does things. Do your things that way. That is genuine wisdom. Genuine wisdom is not common sense. Genuine wisdom is Bible sense. Divine wisdom has characteristics. Wisdom that is from above is first peaceable, full of good works, and all that, easy to be treated. And that's what you find in all those who pursue righteousness. Finally, to know God is to know his riches, what he can afford, to know his resources. Your faith won't be strong until you know what God owns and what he can afford. The only genuine landlord of this property called planet Earth is God Almighty. You may explore Mars, but who put it there? Doesn't mean because you found something that is your own. If you go down now and see a car part, it becomes your own because you saw it. If you just look under your chair and see a bag of money, dollars, does it become your own because you saw it? This place was here before you came, after you, and not only that, your body was taken from the planet. When you die, you're going to give back to the earth what you remove from it. Like somebody said, that even the principle of sowing and reaping works with the planet earth. God took one body from the earth, but good measure, pressed down, shaking together, is what the earth is getting back. 6 billion of them. He's expecting 6 billion to return back. The same seed, Jesus gave one of his life on the cross. See how many lives he's getting. Every time you see an altar call, give your life to Christ. Jesus is getting the harvest of one life he gave. Knowing God means, I can't get into my second thought tonight. Knowing God means to know his resources. Now you see, that's the four faces of the gospel. There are four gospels. If you get to the throne of God, you see four living creatures. There are four faces. The face of an eagle, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of... Yes, the four faces of the revelation of God. The four faces of God Almighty. His character, his power, his wisdom or his ways, and his riches. When you know God's character, you become like him, you behave like him. You have known the immutable, the immutability. One of the reasons behind the immutability of his counsel is his nature. Because he has an unchanging nature. He said, I am the Lord God, I change it not. Number two, when you know God's power, you know what he can do. What are his capabilities? And let me tell you how much potential God has. The Bible says God has all potential. God is omni. The word omni means all. Potent. The word potent came is ability or power. It came from the word potential. Or from that word you got the word potential. God is omnipotent. All powerful. There is nothing he cannot do. except what his character forbids him to do. Not that he doesn't have power to do it, but his character forbids him from doing it. You see, it doesn't take anything from a man that has integrity to lie. He has a mouth, he has a tongue, so he can tell you something that's not true. But his nature or character of integrity governs his tongue. He won't lie. That's how it is with God. Number three, to know God means to know his ways. I always pray, O God, show me thy ways, that I might know you. That's the prayer of Moses. Moses prayed to him, he says, show me thy glory. Then he said, show me thy ways, that I might know you, that I might find favor in your sight. The more of God you know, the more of his favor you assess. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Christ. That means the more of Christ you know, the more grace or favor you know, the more of his peace and assurance you have. Because when you know the power of God, there will be peace and assurance in your heart. A man to come up and say, the God that answered him by fire, and he was yabbing the magicians and making fun of them. Maybe your bow went on journey. There must be something he knows. For a man to stand before River Jordan or the Red Sea and believe that they were divine. He said to the children of Israel, fear not. The Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. Hey, it is not professed knowledge, it is practical knowledge. When circumstances come up, that's when you know how much of God you know. When you know God's nature, you behave like him. When you know God's power, you become strong and you are filled with assurance. When you know God's wisdom, you become successful. Because you just get your things done like he gets his things done. When you know God's wealth, his resources, you have an endless supply. You need to know how much God owns. The cattle in a thousand hills are mine. The silver and the gold are mine, said the Lord. Some unbelievers are just stewards. But God can get it from their hand to my hand. He did it to Joseph. He did it to the children of Israel. He did it to Jacob. When you know his resources, you will not be poor. When you know his resources, your father can't own that much. You die a pauper. No. He didn't create all these things for the 419 people to be enjoying. We have got the mentality that the people who should use the Mercedes Jeep and fly a jet should be the unbelievers. So if a pastor has a jet, hey, this pastor is not spiritual. Do you know what your God can afford? That's your problem. That's your problem. I met a missionary who was crying. Can you imagine this church built 50 million worth of auditorium? They are wasting money. I say, look at you. You go to an ocean, you get a cup of water, you call that waste. The ocean does not know where you remove a tank. It doesn't know where you remove a trailer of water. It doesn't know. Your problem is your faith. Jesus said, oh ye of little faith. God will clothe and decorate the flowers. Today they live, tomorrow they die. See how he wastes resources. God feed the lilies of the valleys. God, he said, even Solomon in all his glory was not decorated and clothed like one of these lilies. Then he talks about the bird. He said, your father feeds them. He said, none of them, every day when they come out in the morning, they do praise and worship. That's why you are still sleeping, the birds are praying and doing praise and worship. The moment they finish, God start bringing their food. You rush out, you won't even talk to God. Morning to leave, you come back empty-handed. Nothing achieved today. As you are coming, the man had just left 5 minutes ago. The one you are looking for. Just after you left, he returned. Well, you won't get God in, because if you get him, he said the steps of the righteous. As the man is trying to leave, just before you arrive, God said, keeping their angel, just keeping their, bring another problem. And he said, okay, madam, come here. Let's talk about that. Why is just finishing? You just arrived. And he said, sir, one more person. So I was just about to go out. I was even gone out 30 minutes ago. But I think God, maybe God wanted us to see today. So what's your headache? Okay. Take it to the next office. It's true. Listen very carefully. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I was at the back and we were praying, and God said, read this story, somebody will be delivered by that. No? Many deliverances that I had because of ignorance, something we don't know. We don't know the God we are working with. That's Ken Hagin's latest book. I was reading the other time. So I sent them to go to my house and get it, and I found a portion God talked to me about. Listen very carefully. In the last church I pastored, there was a family who had just gotten back to church. They've been backsliding. They've been out of church for years. The father came to the altar, got back in fellowship with God, and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Their youngest daughter was 11 years old. That little girl never developed right. She was small, like a 7-year-old. It seemed that she also had the mentality of a 7-year-old, yet she was 11. She was mentally deranged. She didn't even develop physically. In fact, she played with our little girl, who was 7 years old, as if she was that old. This little girl was a slow learner, couldn't make it to school. Anyway, she got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It seemed like her mentality increased. She was a very sweet girl. Anyway, we left that church. 3 years later, you know, they had to put this girl in a hospital in Dallas. They wanted us to come and pray for her. She was under an oxygen tent in a coma. The doctors thought that she had a brain tumor. They said she wasn't going to live much longer. So I prayed. Then my wife and I went to our meeting. So they called us to come. We finally closed the meeting and went. When I got to the hospital, they pulled the girl's oxygen tent up. So I laid my hands on her forehead and started praying. Listen. Why my eyes were shut, I felt a warm hand on my hand, pulling my hand off for her head. So I thought that maybe I was pressing too hard on her, so that maybe her mother took my hand off on her head. So I shut my eyes again, put my hand back on her head, and started praying, and the same warm hand came a second time and removed my hand. So I opened my hand, my eyes, and didn't see anybody's hand on me. But I thought maybe her mother was doing this. So the third time, I kept my eyes open this time around. And I placed my hand on her head, and the same one hand came out and removed it. And now I knew it was the Lord, so I said to him, why do you take my hand off her head? And he said, because she's going to die. This is the same God. If you don't know God, though, you'll be misbehaving and losing. He said to that pastor, you have been thrown inside this place now. Why? Because if you get into studying of God's character, you will see the other hard side. You know, I read for you the good side. One of them is that God is a consuming fire. And if we're going to know God, we have to know the two sides of the coin. Now see this. Lord, I said, she loves you. I saw her when she got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is she going to die? He said, she has one kidney about the size of an English pea. The other kidney is only about half the size it should be. She doesn't have a tumor, even though the doctors think she has. By the time they examine her, they will find out. She has functioned all her life only on half kidney. Finally, this poison has spread all over her body and poisoned her brain. That's why she's in a coma. Well, I said, Lord, but I know you can heal her. He said, yes, but I won't. I said, Lord, why? He said, her parents have done something, should have done something about it before she was born. They got themselves into a curse, and that curse affected the child that was conceived. He said, while her mother was carrying her for 9 months, her father left the church because he didn't like something that the pastor said. Listen very carefully. Yeah. He backslid, and wherever he went, he cursed the pastor, and her mother was running around spreading gossip about everyone in the church. Instead of praying for the work of God, they opened the door for the devil. Just let that child come home. Let me take care of her. She will not fulfill her destiny in the land of the living. And the Lord said the husband and the wife were spiritually responsible for what happens to that child. They didn't have to do what they did. Don't think any believer can speak badly about the pastor or the ministers that are placed over them and they experience my blessing. He said, they were going to get their prayer, they were not going to get their prayers answered. They were cursing out on a man of God. They were not going to get their prayers answered. They were running around spreading gossip about the church of Jesus Christ. They should have been praying for that work, and they should have been praying for that child. And the devil wouldn't have messed up her organ while she was in the womb. They that do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with flattery. Lift up your hands and just bless his name.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.